It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and I got Stephanie and Mike from porktherapy.com. And you know, that's, I can't put it in short, any shorter amount of time than less than 2 minutes of Five Monkeys. And it has, you know, there's, we know they're out there. You know, we know. You know, there's, we have a short segment now. We'll go ahead and have you guys go into the next segment. It's 12 minutes, and we'll, if you guys can hold on for that, because I want to just make sure that the audience understands what we're talking about. We got Stephanie and Mike from New Hampshire. They have their own podcast that broadcast on with Free Talk Live on the Liberty Radio Network, and they have an audience and support because it's a needed thing. How do we interact with each other on a personal level without government? Because when you're dealing with somebody, what do you think? There's some kind of government manual on how you choose a spouse? I mean, they'd love for there to be. In fact, they got marriage contracts on how it's going to be. And then you move to another state, and they change it. And it's retroactive. That you don't get to, like, you know, yes, I do. You do? I do, too. Okay, boom, we're done. No. You move to another state, different contract. That state can change the contract. It can be retroactive on the contract. I'm going, whoa, where the heck does this even happen in business? Anywhere else? Where does that ever happen anywhere else? Just marriage, one of the most important relationships that you'll ever have, and people are begging for state sanction of it. Even in gay marriages, they're going, well, we want the same slavery as everybody heterosexuals do. Really? Yay. But we see something different.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Think about it. You just think about it. You know, this is what's happening right now before your eyes. You don't even see it coming. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Stephanie, Michael from PorkTherapy.com, rocking it out. We'll be back just a little bit.
Shit. He wants your body remover.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Michael in New Hampshire. Michael!
You stand in terms of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king.
Michael, it matters not. He is your king. And you're going to challenge his authority. And then what do you think is going to, how far are you willing to go on this store thing with your house, Mike?
I don't know. I guess I'll have to make that decision when the danger comes. But he is not my king. He thinks he is.
I, you know, this is powerful. You'll have just you build a little house, you got a little room, people bring over the stuff, it benefits the community, people come there and consignment to trade and do and whatever, and silver flows both ways, and you got, and all, oh, heck no. Can't have that happen. Tell us about the area that you're in. What city or town are you in? How densely populated it is? What jurisdiction? What's county sheriff like? Do you know? Are you running anybody for county sheriff? I mean, give us the demographics and the political landscape of where you're doing this at so that we know what to expect.
I'm in a small town in the Upper Valley area of New Hampshire, and it's a great big Grafton County. It's a huge county, and this particular town has only one cop in it. There are no zoning laws. It's relatively free. It's a pretty small town. And however, it's, you know, the state routes run through every town, and so the stateies drive through there all the time. And there's always, you know, people who think that government is good. They like to butt their nose into other people's business and say, oh, you're doing something I don't like. Well, I'm going to call the government, make sure you have a permit, make sure you got permission to do that.
Wow. This is, you know, I can tell you right now, you got to do one of two things. Either you're secret, nobody knows, and you go as long as you can, or you're way open about it from the beginning, and you kind of, I don't know, a middle ground. Is there a middle ground you're going to attempt?
I don't know of a middle ground if there is one. I'm just doing the open thing. I would appreciate if someone, you know, tried to do the secret thing, but to me that's not really living free, that's living in secret. And I just want to, you know, open a business and sell things to people. I just want to live free, so when they bring their aggression, then I'll deal with that.
Ooh. And do you have a significant other that's with you? I mean, is it just you in the house? How many people are there?
It will be me and my girlfriend, and I have a couple of relationships actually, and we're all talking, and I'm, you know, we're preparing for what we're going to do when I'm in jail, and, you know, who's going to act as what, and what strategies we'll want to take, if any, et cetera. So we're planning ahead.
You know, I'm glad you are. This is because and you need to get the Freedom community involved in this, because it's a lesson that we all can learn from. I'm very interested in this. Can you go to a live free or die state and the free state project and be free and having free be doing, you know, do you have to do pork therapy from a jail cell? I mean, you know, this is and it's very, you know, Stephanie, what's your take on what he's attempting to do? I got you, Stephanie. Maybe she's not. I got you, Mike.
Yes.
I'm interested in how we're going to approach this in the community. Do they know that you're going to be doing this? And how densely populated is the place there? How many are in the closest town? How many free staters do you associate with in your immediate area?
Hey, I thought again.
Michael?
Yes.
How many people live in that community? How many people are there? How many friends do you have?
In the town here, the population's about 1,200.
So that's a good sized little community. Stephanie, I got you back, Stephanie. No, well, that's all right. Hopefully, we'll try and get her back. She's on another line. You know,
okay.
But how many people do you associate with that you consider part of the freedom movement? And that's another good question. How many people are in the freedom movement there in New Hampshire that were already living there? Thank goodness you guys came. Oh, I've been looking for you a long time. Or are they all people that have come from out of state?
No, I don't know the percentage, but I do know that there are a continually growing number of people, of locals, let's call them, people who already lived here or maybe were born here, who learn about this movement of liberty activists and say, wow, I really appreciate what you're doing. You're just trying to help everyone, you know, leave each other alone, and I'm going to be part of that. I'm going to support you. I'm going to join you, or at the very least, I'm not going to work against you. And continually, we keep meeting more and more of these people. I've met two or three, even in my little community here.
Well, who are the people that are working against you? Who would be you freedom people? You took that license plate slogan seriously. You're not allowed.
I can't say for sure. I would imagine it's people who like to control other people's lives, like to butt in, like to make sure that other people are living the way they themselves would like to live. So there could be people already entrenched in government, in little town or county governments that don't want to lose their power, perhaps. There's also a large number of people, I think, or a large percentage anyway, that hear, oh, you're a free stater? Oh, I hate what you're doing. And they don't want to listen to facts. They don't want to hear what I'm doing. They just hear the word and they get scared of it.
Because of what? I mean, what would you say would be the most common demographic? Are they, people that are religious? Are they Republican, Democrat? I mean, what's the common thread that, you know, has got their mind so set in something?
Unfortunately, I wouldn't know how to classify them, but I would say one thing they all have in common is they're afraid of change because they understand that these people, these liberty activists, are here to make a change. But they don't understand, judging by my conversations with a few of them, they don't understand what that change is. Is it good or bad? Is it fast or slow? Is it hard or soft? They don't know. They just know, you're coming here to make a change. I don't like it. Get out of my town.
Well, are you really changing them? I mean, just being left alone is, I mean, what status quo do they want? Everybody has to be under the whip? I mean, I'm not really...
Yes. Ironically, that's what they're saying, even if they don't know it. Because what liberty activists want is for everyone to leave each other alone. So... if I move, you know, I'm in this town, and if somebody wants to pay money for the one cop to exist, I'm not going to stop them, as long as they don't try to forcefully take my money for the cop to exist. So they can have whatever they want. They just can't force it on me, and that's what they're raging against.
You know, I've had these conversations before with people that mindset, and you'll make some simple statement like, look, I'm not stopping you. I just don't want to be made for me to, you know, force me and my treasure, you know, to do whatever it is that you want. And then they always eventually comes down to this. Yeah, but then it doesn't work. I think our conversation is over. We're done here. And it's good for the audience, you know, whoever's standing around that, you know, enjoy the conversation. But, you know, I'm really proud of you guys. I mean, it's just to have, I don't know if pride is the right word, but I guess it is because I like it. Let's give you an example. Let's imagine there were, you know, the, you know, Uber aliens from Alphys and whatever comes in, they land down and they're like, you know, teach us about humanity. You know, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I mean, you want to select, you know, the best of what we are. You want to get the Olympic gymnast. You know, look at this, man, doinging around. Woo, ain't that cool? I mean, we have capacities. You get the smart people. You get the creative people. You have people, you know, the great singers, the great minds, the great mathematicians, the great. I mean, you want to expose them to the ideas of what children, how they think and play and all. And you definitely want to expose them to the thought processes of people like Michael and Stephanie. You want them to see, look, this is humanity. This is our what we're striving for. And the people that oppose them, why would I introduce them? You know, I would warn them against them. I go, and there are some people that are like this. Well, there's a majority of people that are like this, that want to control, that have, and you know, and if you're an aggressive race, from outer space, and you come in, you go, ooh, and how'd they do that? Ooh, we want to get control of that dial. Humanity marches on. And I'm so glad that you guys are there. And we kind of got off on the relationship, you know, off of the relationship thing and how the interface between individuals are. But I'm sure that applies to how you deal with the people that have already been living there. Your best advice is what? Don't engage them. You know, don't get them in their defensive, putting up sandbunker. Once they have resistance, you just walk away. You just leave them with a thought. You don't engage them. I mean, you know, how do you deal with people that are, you know, antagonistic to what you're doing?
Well, I think it's contextual. It depends on what exactly is happening with that person. Are they aggressing against you? Are they asking a question? Are they, you know, are they in a big committee meeting and they're just trying to get information. I don't know what's best, but I like direct communication, direct and honest communication. I'm open. I don't like secrets. I also like to hold my ground. I mean, I'm up for learning new things and being corrected when I'm wrong. It's difficult, but I like to do it. So I definitely need work on this, too, and that is interacting with people individually and not as a collective. I mean, that's common sense to me, and I definitely encourage that behavior, but it's really hard when I'm so used to thinking, oh, you're a cop, you always act like this. No, he's a person who's a cop, and I have to get better at interacting with them as individuals.
Uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies on freedomsphoenix.com, and the best way to do that is using good examples like Stephanie and Mike. Porktherapy.com, P-O-R-C. Mike, thanks for coming on. It was a great time. Good luck
there,
and we will keep track of your efforts. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Yeah, he's coming around. And we're going to keep track, you know, of the man coming around for Mike. You know, because they know they're coming. Or not. You never know. You might be able to get, a little town ordinance where their one policing man said, you know, the none shall pass, leave him alone. But that's never really how it works out, you know. And Stephanie, I know she was trying to get back in. We lost her on the line. Is she back? Stephanie, are you there? Stephanie?
Hello.
There you go. Well, I'm sorry we lost you. We had, you know, such a good conversation, even without you. But know that we got you back. You know, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about this, and we can do it without the men. It's just Stephanie and talk show host. We are gender neutral.
You count, Ernie.
The one thing that I'm really looking forward to is understanding, and we probably won't know until after this actually happens, because a lot of times we look in history, and it's always the revolutionaries, the heroes, always men. Well, just from reading the works of John Adams and Jefferson and all this kind, you know, who we kidding, man? There was, you know, they always say, behind every great man is a great woman. No, there's a man out in front with a woman pushing him is what's going on, you know? So it's the enormous power that women have on what is rewarded by men. You know, I give you an example. You have... I remember there was a campaign that they were trying from the White House during, I think it was the Reagan administration, where Nancy Reagan is doing her just say no thing. And they were coming out going, and maybe it was during Barbara Bush or something, saying, well, you know, if the young women in the ghettos would just stop, you know, providing sexual favors to the drug dealers and so on, the whole world would change because they would stop. And I'm going, they have that kind of influence, but I don't know, the women may be more, worried about what kind of car he drives or how much money he's got, you know. So I'm looking.
Well, see, I'm a little offended by that because it implies that the only thing that women have as leverage is their, you know, sexuality or something, and that can be further from the truth.
Well, you know that. Now think about it. You know, hey man, I was a teenage boy, and I tell you what, you want to talk? That may not be the only one that women have, and certainly as men mature. But I tell you what, it is a overwhelming, powerful force for a 15 to 22 year old. I can guarantee you that. Okay, because you have women in a movement. That's one thing that's really, and the point that I want to make is that in this freedom movement, so many women have come in. We got Lola, Ladies of Liberty Alliance, and we have a lot of, you know, so much so that we have even organizations of freedom-oriented women in there. They can, you know, by rewarding good behavior and punishing bad behavior and looking for men that can be men that stand up against this authority and at least claim dominion over their own lives, when that becomes sexy, oh, man, you're going to see a whole bunch more of it. That's the power of women. From a man's point of view, Stephanie, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, personally, I can only speak for myself, but I do find it attractive when men and women as well are willing to stand up to the tyranny of government and actually do something and get active for liberty, which is one of the reasons I moved to New Hampshire to be part of the Free State Project, because I know that there are a lot of other people who also do the same thing.
Well, there's still that nesting security aspect, because if you got Mike out there challenging the man, it's like, ooh, he's such a bad boy rebel. Oh, and he's such for freedom. Oh, I just want to squeeze his bicep right up until you got, you know, the man coming, squeezing his wrist and putting handcuffs on. So I'm just, you know, wanting to see just how far his activities are supported, not just in, you know, philosophical terms, but in the terms of relationships, because I've seen a lot of very hardcore freedom fighting relationships going down the tubes, because it's very difficult to maintain a relationship when you're constantly in court. So,
well, that's true. Although we did do a show where we interviewed some sort of super activist couples in New Hampshire, where one of the members of the couple was in jail, and how did they maintain a relationship while the other person was in jail for civil disobedience? And I think it definitely can work. And I also want anyone who I'm in a relationship with to do what makes them happy in life. You know, I don't want to control them more than I want to control anybody else.
Now, that attitude, yes? Right there that you said, that attitude, I want them to be happy. I want them to, you know, reach their potential and what they want to accomplish, and them to be, you know, that attitude right there, is it consciously or on purpose beaten out of us in our society? Do they see that, you know, the big bad guys that want to control, do they see an advantage in people being more selfish or wanting to control others? Is it kind of a root thing that they're trying to get into us in the mandatory youth indoctrination camps, aka the government school system? I mean, is this something that's fun that we're trying to evolve out of, that you're being an example for? You see what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a core. If I'm big, bad, evil empire of, and I know that all I got to do is get them in kindergarten and I can tell them whatever and I can do whatever and I can change the entire planet 15 years later, when I know these guys become in their late, you know, teens and 20s.
Yes, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. My thought is that, you know, having kids be in government schools and be treated like less than a person, you know, you have to raise your hand and ask the authority figure when you want to do anything, including go to the bathroom. I mean, would you think as an adult of ever asking someone else if you could go to the bathroom?
Can you hold, let's go ahead and hold you on, Stephanie. Can you go into the next segment? Because I want to talk about the public school system. We'll talk about that from her perspective in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
And you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times they are changing.
Oh yeah, they're changing. And we're documenting it here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And we have Stephanie on the line from porktherapy.com out of New Hampshire. P-O-R-C-therapy.com podcast that Stephanie and Mike do that's just on relationships and how we, and it's more than just the relationships you have with each other, but also how you deal with people. You're going into a new community. You know, we have the live free or die state, you know, and people, they had a criteria, but this went on for, I don't know, a couple of years. It was, you know, where are we going to go if we're going to try and use some kind of a border, you know, that's created by this fictitional kind of made up government thing. And we got this border. We're going to corral human beings into little farms. OK, we got this little New Hampshire farm. But, you know, it had an international border with Canada. It had access to the ocean, you know, down on the coast. We have it's sparsely populated. It's pretty much a concept, just, you know, live and let live. In fact, their state motto is live free or die. So there's a lot of reasons why to go there, except, you know, my big drawback was it was right next to Massachusetts. You know, that was a problem right there. But so you go to New Hampshire and you say, all right, we're going to give it a shot. All right. Well, I wanted to ask Stephanie, in your experiences there, you've been there how long? A couple of years?
4 years.
4 years, really. So, you know, it's kind of from the beginning. So I'm wondering, what is the support for the government schools there. How are the young, in just the 4 years that you've come in, I would imagine that the Free State Project might have been brought up in the local school system. They, you know, some of the kids of the people that have moved, because families go up there. They bring all their children, too. I mean, they're coming in either, and I wouldn't imagine a lot of them probably going in the government school system, but they're exposed to other children their age. I'm just wondering the indoctrination or the flavor that the children are being exposed by the new that the Free State Project is there. How is it affecting them? How is the next generation being raised? What kind of influence are you having with the young?
Sure. Well, there are a lot of things going on because, as you said, Ernie, it's very important to notice, you know, how the government school system indoctrinates kids and teaches them to be obedient to authority, beats their natural creativity and curiosity out of them. One of the things that's going on is there is a podcast called the School Sucks Podcast with Brett from here in New Hampshire. And he has a whole podcast all about that stuff, and people do outreach to middle school and high school students to try to get them to listen to that podcast. There is also a Free Stater who has started her own school in the Manchester area of New Hampshire, and it's a private school for gifted children, and so there's that going on. We also have the Informal University, which is basically a collection of people with no teaching certifications, just basically skills that they want to teach to other people. And you can go take classes there, and you get an informal certification. And the last thing is that a lot of the Free Staters are really interested in homeschooling because they recognize that, you know, there are similarities between government school and private school. And they really want to be able to interact with their own kids on a voluntary basis. And we also have a scholarship fund for children who want to get out of the government schools so that people can donate privately to that and pay for kids to go be homeschooled or go to a private school.
You know, this is one thing that you said. I mean, I want to get to the School Sucks podcast here in a second. But first thing, before I forget, tell them to send me an email. I want to get them on.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
The other thing is that, you know, kind of this private university thing. If you go back to the beginnings of the United States itself and the emancipation from the crown, you had all of these universities. There was no federal government certification, student loan kind of crap going on. That was the furthest thing from their mind. I didn't even enter into it. So I can see that you start with the skills that people bring. Because the first thing is, you have someone that actually picks up and moves there. And certainly if they're going to be living off grid or they're going to start sustaining themselves or they start doing a lot of farming, these are intelligent people. I mean, these are people that come with skills. They either have building skills, they know how to do something, you know, they're a machinist, they got some skill, they're not stupid, they have some confidence, some reason, at least they're young and strong and, you know, who can I work for a bed and some breakfast? I mean, you know, so this private university concept of being able to share real life information and skills from someone and pass it on to another generation, I find that amazing, interesting, and necessary. And is it somebody that's usually the teacher or instructor, is somebody retired, they're older, they're more mature, or do you have young people that have the ability, you know, because I tell you what, if it had anything to do with computers, you know, bring the youngins on, you know, so I
right.
Give me.
And that's kind of the beauty of it, is there are all kinds of different people from all walks of life. Anyone who has a skill is free to teach, and the success of their class will be determined by how many people sign up for the class. And, of course, they're very very low cost or free. And that's one of the best things about it, is that anyone can sort of access these things.
You know, it's amazing to me that you can have, if you get government out of the way, that you can have a society that really, you know, the entertainment, you know, they don't get too hot or too cold. They got shelter that they create for themselves or share with someone. They are able to sustain their life, breathe in and out because they got, you know, enough vegetables canned or, you know, they got chickens or farm animal, whatever. And then they can devote themselves like during the Renaissance to knowledge.
Sure, and that's the division of labor, you know. You don't have to be making your own clothes and growing all your own food yourself, you know. You can free up your time to do other things and let the experts at any given thing take care of that, and then you can trade with them for their their skills.
Well, that's what happened. You know, you get into the West as being pioneered and so on. You know, they're begging for doctors and teachers to come out because they needed that skill. Look, we can do all this and other stuff, but you have a skill that we need. That's another good point. Doctors, you know, they're freedom-oriented doctors that kind of, you know what? You just know that I can take care of them. I'm a doctor. I can diagnose. I can whatever and so on. And maybe I can't even write a prescription, but, you know, I just played some doctrine over here and I'm not getting a shiny badge from anybody. I mean, you know, do you have doctors there?
We do have some doctors, not as many as I would like, although I am a medical student myself, so I'll be faced with that in a couple of years. And there are also definitely some alternative health practitioners. I know of one person in particular who's a chiropractor who's planning on moving here in the spring, and he plans to do completely unlicensed chiropractic treatments. In fact, he was at Pork Fest doing adjustments without anybody's permission, and everybody raved about it. He had a lot of customers, and everybody said their back felt great.
Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about. He has a lot of other skills, too. You know, and what was interesting, I spent some time with him, you know, on the road, various different functions and so on. And, you know, he gets his doctorate. He goes in to, you know, he's educated. He goes in. He's doing all. He's like, you know, I don't like this system. I'm just not built for all the paperwork, regulation, control, what I can, can't do. I'm kind of, you know, and he starts going in another direction. Well, fortunately, his wife kind of supports that. So, you know, that allows him to do that. Not everybody has that kind of support at home. But I'm looking at the Free State Project. And I hate really to say Free State Project. Is a lot of this activity really have anything to do with the Free State Project? Or was that just a catalyst? How prominent is the Free State Project in this New Hampshire thing?
Right, that's a really good point. Actually, I've heard the Free State Project itself referred to before as a bureaucratic bust, which is to say that the Free State Project just exists to get people to New Hampshire. And specifically, they want to get 20,000 liberty-loving people to New Hampshire. And once that happens, it's up to them what they decide to do when they get here. So there have been Free Staters who get involved with all different kinds of things. I mean, there's people who do inside the system political activism. There are people who do civil disobedience and more outside the system stuff. People who try to challenge and clog up the court system. There are also people who do education and outreach and media, create their own media. And that's probably what I'm most interested in myself is try to change people's hearts and minds and create my own media.
Now, this is a good question for someone that's been there 4 years. People listening to this show, they go, wow, that sounds so cool. I could go there and advocate the freedom that I want. I want people to, you know, they usually got their fill in the blank. We'd all be free if everybody do what I tell them. You know, I mean, how
right,
many times?
They should come here and do that.
You know, the thing is that that would be our definition of freedom if they would. I don't want them to do what I tell them. I just want them to, you know, leave me alone and just I get do what I want and they can do what they want. But there are some people that say you can't really be free unless you think this way or you should have this law or you should have this standard, you know, be conservative or liberal or whatever. And I'm just, what kind of mindset must they be open to before they go there and be successful in this kind of freedom community? Because you say freedom, and you know Tea Party Sarah Palin say freedom, or Joe Lieberman say freedom, or Hitler say freedom, or somebody, you know, they're going to have a different definition. So I'm like, what is the definition that people would move there and not be disappointed that they're looking for?
Sure, that's a great point. I believe the Free State Project's own mission statement says something like, you know, I pledge to move to New Hampshire if 20,000 other people do the same thing, and when I get there, I'll exert my fullest practical effort to create a society where the maximum role of government is the protection of life, liberty, and property, which I think is good because it says the maximum role of government. So either, you know, most of the people who are here either want a very, very small government or no government at all. And I would put myself into the second camp of people who want no government. And, you know, there are all kinds of people along the ideological spectrum, but, you know, I think they mesh pretty well for the most part. They get along with each other. For the most part, right now, we're working towards very similar goals, and I think they work together pretty well.
You know, when I spoke at the Liberty Forum a few months ago, and it's kind of the more structured Free State Project kind of thing before you go to the Porcupine Festival. You know, the Porcupine Festival is more of the anarchist reign. Liberty Forum is, of course, everybody's there and they get along. But when this first started at the Freedom Summit that we have every year, next one's coming up in this December, And we would have the Free State Project had table there, and they were promoting it and so on before you even selected the location. Amanda Phillips was on my radio show the morning right after they selected the state. It was announced. And so we've been following this from the beginning. We had a Freedom Summit in Manchester, the only one we've had out of Arizona. We did in Manchester, I think it was 04, you know, just to show our support and kind of help and highlight what was going on. But I could see what was going to happen, because it always happens. In the beginning, when you do something like this, you have someone, they get very excited about, we're going to take over the political system here, libertarians are going to move here, and we have the numbers, and we'll all run for office, and then we'll wear the ring of power, okay? and I'm going, man, you're going to come up against what I knew was going to happen. There were going to be the more anarchist type that's like, look, I'm coming here just to be left alone. I don't give a crap. I'm not going to, go put up signs or help you vote or even vote. You know, I'm not going to advocate for political process. I came here to be like, can I be here left alone? And then you had the Free Stater kind of libertarian oriented political guys going, well, what'd you come here for? We need you to get out and hold a sign and quit being so crazy and doing all this, dissent and all this political activism that you're civil disobedience. Now you're making us look bad and we need to get more votes and we got it. So I saw those two sides going and I knew it would happen. And I was glad to see. And that was what my speech was about at Liberty Forum, was I'm going, look, it's now starting to get to where you guys are starting to see the benefits of just leaving each other alone as well, and it'll just mesh. You take this attitude and this mindset to go to New Hampshire to be left alone, and then everybody else that comes there to be left alone, you won't leave them alone because you want them to do what you want them to do. You just brought your Massachusetts sickness with you? I mean, so I could see that it's good to see that's starting to meld into just, okay, the prime directive is thou shalt leave everybody alone, including your own kind. So I'm glad to see that happen, and I think it's evolving into a much better philosophical meld to where, as you bring up children, they live and understand this. And that's one thing. I had Stephen Molyneux on, I think it was this week, or no, it was last week, and Stephen is he's a very popular podcaster and does YouTubes and so on. He's a very freedom-oriented kind of guy, and some of the people on this show have heard some of his stuff and him being on.
I heard that interview, actually, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a great interview. And one thing that I really think that he's starting to, has such a popularity is he's advocating for, can I vote none? You know, you're going to put a gun to my head and make me vote on government, how about I vote non-government? So this is the future. And even if it's not available in our lifetime, because you got big giant F-16s pointed at you and say, no, you shall be ruled one way or another. The freedom really is in our heads. If we can just advocate for it, then all of a sudden it just kind of happens. And I want to make sure that this next generation of youth that come up, not only sees it as a standard, but they live it at home. How many families do you think have come up? Is there a lot of families? What's the percentage of people that come up there that have brought, kind of traditional family where you got, parents and children?
Sure. Well, at the beginning, I'd say the earliest movers were the ones that were the least tied down. So we got a lot of young single people. But that's really starting to change now. I would say within the last year, there has been a huge influx of families, and they're bringing children with them. And of course, along with that goes homeschooling and, all the other kinds of schools, that alternative schooling options that we talked about. And it really adds diversity to the community, too, because, we want all kinds of people here fighting for freedom. We recognize that freedom goes across all kinds of, spectres of society, and anyone can really live free because it's a mindset, as you said.
Well, do you think people there are seeing that you're an infection that's going to, spread throughout their community, or do they see it as a...
Oh, I certainly don't. There may be some people who think that, but I really don't experience it. I mean, anyone who I've interacted with has been, you know, generally pretty positive.
Yeah, not that that's probably a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but how else? I mean, because the reason I say that, I always, you know, give the word picture, you know, we're the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure, okay? So I can see this as an injection, and it's not, and just the hypodermics hitting New Hampshire, it's going to infect the rest of the world. So that's why in my speech at the Pork Fest, I'm going, look, man, I don't think you guys understand what's going on here. The world's watching, you know? And when we come back in the final segment, we'll get Stephanie, we're going to drag her out one more, you know, to the end here. But, you know, I want to make sure that the audience understands that I'm looking for what is it that they see is happening? Is it this social infection, or are the guys there afraid that they're going to take over politically? And even if they did, would that be the preferred way of doing it? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube. What do I see? A whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy too fat. Get over.
Yeah, get over it. You know, just get over it, get over it, get over it. I'm just so sick and tired of hearing all the whining, complaining, pitching a fit. You know, just get over it. And the one thing that, you know, the kind of people that are always going, oh, man, I we need a change, but we need it changed the way that I want. The way I want to change it. Well, we have people that are picking up their entire lives, their families, you know, their wives, their spouses, their children, their husbands, their boyfriends, girlfriends, their harem, whatever, and they're going to New Hampshire just to advocate being left alone. And the one final question I have for Stephanie is, I'm going, the social aspect of this, as far as the community, the people that you're dealing with that have already lived there, because you're talking a small population, and it's very loosely, it's very non-dense. What do I want to say? Sparsely populated. You know, you go out, New Hampshire is not like a lot of states because of the way their political structure is. You know, you can change a little thing at how their legislature are. They have hundreds of state legislators that represent, probably each one represents only a couple thousand, 3,000 people, right?
I believe even less than that in some cases. Yeah, it has one of the biggest legislative bodies in the world.
That don't get paid, that have to meet in the summer with no air conditioning. I mean, you know, it's kind of, they really want to keep this government down thing. But you have a lot of people coming in from outside. They're going to take over. Well, at the same time, you have a lot of people from Massachusetts want to come in and politically control New Hampshire with, I don't know, whatever they think they can get away with and make some money. You know, here comes the Free State Project, and I'm wondering, where is the greater influence? Is it just socially, you know, at the local water cooler in your office building, if there's, assuming there is an office building in New Hampshire, or you have at the local town square, at the local barber, that kind of thing? Or is there really an influence politically during elections, people getting elected? Is it being manifest there, and which one's stronger?
That's a good question. I think it's really on an individual level, not just talking, you know, with individuals on a one-on-one basis, but one thing that a lot of free speakers are doing is really creating their own media and their own blogs and their own podcasts like my own and a lot of others. And we even have the nationally syndicated radio show Free Talk Live. And so it's reaching out to people one by one and sort of changing their hearts and minds. Politically, I don't know. I'm not really a huge believer in the political process. I think there are other ways to sort of achieve change in society. But, you know, there have been successes on that front, too. You know, Free Staters being elected, Free Staters, you know, not just being elected, but campaigning and getting the ideas out there. I think that's valuable, too. And even some laws that have been passed that they consider victories. So I think it's on both fronts, but for me, I'd say more on the individual level.
You know, tell us about some of the laws. I mean, we only got about like a minute. Is there something that stuck out in your head? Because I'm like, you know, the bigger the police state, the more likely we are to know we need to leave it. You know what I mean? You know, I'm like, bring it on. It's so bad. Dude. Yeah, one day closer to freedom. Make it worse. What the heck, you know? But is there something there that's happened? You're going, hey, man, that was cool. Like what?
Yeah, well, I tend to agree with you that eventually it'll just kind of collapse under its own weight. But there are people who want to roll it back. And New Hampshire is the only state in the 50 states that doesn't have a seatbelt law, mandatory seatbelts. Free Staters have defeated that as it's come up every year. for the past many, many years. Also, there has been a recent repeal of a knife ban, which prohibits people from carrying switchblade knives. And so now people have just, you know, one more option to defend themselves when they're walking around. Of course, open carry is legal without any government permits or anything like that. So you can openly carry a firearm anywhere you go in New Hampshire. And concealed carry is a, what they call a shall issue permit. So you basically just have to ask for it, and they shall issue it to you.
Well, here in Arizona, we no longer need any permits. Of course, it took us 15 years to get it, but it was no compromise. We're going, oh, heck no. Heck no, we're not asking permission.
I wish you had heard that.
You know, it's been great spending time with you and Mike, Stephanie. PorkTherapy.com, P-O-R-C, therapy.com. Check them out. We'll talk to you tomorrow.